RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
I'm reading from a News Talk ZB headline, actually. Petrol companies likely to respond to Commerce Commission warning, according to an expert. The expert is Terry Collins, media spokesperson for AA. We thought we'd find out more. And there are a couple of other questions we want to ask him about motoring as well. Terry, thanks for coming on RCR.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
Okay, so what have the petrol companies been doing? What have they been up to?
It's an effect called the rocket and feather effect. It's something we haven't seen in New Zealand before, but it's common in overseas markets. What it means is when the price of fuel is going up, the companies are very quick to put the price at the pump up. When the price of fuel is going down, it's a light feather. It floats down over a longer period of time. And so either way, the motorist is losing. They're paying more to start with when it goes up, and they're still paying more as the price coming down.
So how do they justify that?
Well, they don't. It's not a collusive thing. It's just that kind of, it tends to occur, and this is a really interesting thing for me, they haven't seen the presence of this effect in the market to date. Usually it occurs when there's what's known as an information asymmetry. That is, the petrol companies have all the information on the pricing and they can determine it, and consumers don't have a lot, so they don't know where the competition and the best prices are. Well, over the last couple of years, they've made some changes to the law that requires that all the grades of petrol have their price on a price board outside the pump. And we also have these new fuel apps like Gaspy, et cetera, where you can look around a radius of 10 or 20 kilometres and work out who's the cheapest in the area. So with all these kind of information flipping more towards the consumer end, it is somewhat surprising that this is appearing in the market.
Are they doing it? Well, they're doing it on purpose, right, to gain as much value as possible in the time they've got. That's what the average person would probably think.
They would. And look, the clear indication to me, Paul, is that if they've got the capacity to pull it up quickly, they've also got the capacity to pull it down quickly.
Yeah. Okay. And you're saying in the story I'm reading that you expect them to act quickly come July to avoid further criticism. Do you know anything more about that? Have you heard anything more? Is that still your feeling?
Well, given the nature of my job, I have industry contacts and I've been talking to them, and they know that there's optics on this price drop coming when the Auckland Regional Fuel excise comes off. And I know that. I think it's a very timely report that the Commerce Commission put out because it mentioned the regional fuel tax just a couple of weeks before it came off. So basically it's a bit of a shot across the bow saying, hey, 11.5 cents should be coming off each litre of fuel on the 1st of July, that being the 10 cents fuel excise duty and 1.5 cents of GST. And we expect you to react quickly to drop those prices down and not have that feather effect which we've seen previously in the market. My contacts in the industry are telling me they're going to do that. They know that they've been looked at. They know that the expectations of the motorists are that they'll come down that amount. The challenge for some of them, particularly the big majors, is make sure it all happens across all these sites at the same time. But they're hoping for about midnight. Like, they're really trying to get it on, you know, immediately that the 1st of July starts, that those prices will drop.
So that becomes the rocket and lead weight effect phenomenon then, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
As a motorist,
I'd like to have the balloon and sinker effect. Prices go up like a balloon, nice and slowly, and come down like a sinker. But I think I'm a bit ambitious here.
So how much do you think they've gouged out in the past from this, or is this first time? I can't see it being first time. They must have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, look, the Commerce Commission said they've done it over a number of years. So they've gone back and looked at the data and what's been affecting it. They're quantifying it around about $15 million per year.
Right. Okay, well, it's not a small sum. I guess over the country it's not massive, but it's still something.
It does. Look, and to be frank, there's something that used to be known in bank fraud as a salami slice. And that is with, say, the interest was 5.12%. Well, the person still that last digit, the person who received the interest would never think it was anything missing, but cumulatively over hundreds of thousands of accounts, it got to be millions of dollars. It's kind of a bit like the salami slice. We're taking one little slice out of the roll that nobody notices, but cumulatively, it's having a big effect.
I love it. We have the rocket and feather effect. We have the salami slice effect. We're learning things here. Okay, so that informs us of that. A couple of other questions I want to ask you about. Most of us are motorists. More taxes for motorists coming down the line? If so, what are they?
Okay, some are out in the distance. Some are taxes, but some are increases. Okay, so fuel, a foreign emergency, have just been consulting on your levy, and they're proposing to put up, when you register a petrol car, the it's currently about $9.12 or something. They want to put it up to $40. So we will 40? See a $30 increase. Yep.
Wow.
$30 increase on our motor registrations. And they've done that for actually quite a logical reason. What they've done is said actually 16% of our costs are turning up to motor vehicle accidents, yet we only get 7% of our levy revenue for doing so. So what they're doing is they're increasing the levy on motor vehicles, but they're decreasing some of the levy around housing and contents, because obviously if they're turning up to more car accidents, they're turning up to, percentage-wise, less fire and contents matters. So it's a bit of a balancing of the levy.
A rebalancing.
We're also going, they're going to start in September and October looking at the ACC levy. If you own a petrol car, you pay 6 cents a litre. If you own diesel, you pay probably an extra $100 registration fee to cover your ACC, because diesel's using trucks and they have different kind of insurance rates for ACC for that. Because they've put that off for about 6 years, putting up the levy, they think there could be another 25% increase. So we could see that go up another cent or two a litre on it. Unfortunately, the government announced that in 2027 they're going to put up fuel excise duty by 12 cents, and another 6 cents a year after that, and another 4 cents after that. So we're seeing this constant out into the future, these levels of costs that are going to get added to motoring. Last year we had increases of insurance because of the weather events and other matters that impacted us. We've had slightly higher costs and we've had higher interest rates. So cumulatively with the price of fuel, that's pushed the price of motoring up.
Okay. Why petrol cars? Is it because they're the majority of the fleet, obviously? Why not EVs? Because when they go off, they really go off.
Oh, no, on the registration, they will actually, you've touched on a very interesting anomaly there. EVs are classified as petrol cars, so they actually won't pay any ACC levy. Something has to be done in regard to having their contribution sorted out, because they're classified as petrol, it's assumed that they would be buying petrol and paying 6 cents a litre. Well, they're not.
Yeah.
Because they're not diesel, they don't pay the higher rate. So they've fitted in a gap in between, which I think officials are going to have to look at.
Yeah, and usually people who buy EVs have got, they can afford to buy EVs. They are more expensive. And why should they get a break?
Well, the government gave them a bit of a break to start with because they want to decarbonise the transport. No, that was one of the low-hanging fruit for media climate change obligations. And so they needed some incentive to do it. So initially, it was no road user charges until we got to 2% of the fleet. We are now at 2% of the fleet. So both governments, the previous one and the current one, indicated they were going to remove it, and they have. The real issue is when you've got two forms of collecting revenue and a hybrid. So when we collect about 70 cents a litre for our road user charges, fuel excise duty for fix our roads or petrol, and then we have $78 for 1,000 kilometres for diesel, and then you've got a kind of hybrid one for PHEV, it's all getting very messy. And the thing about efficient petrol cars is the more efficient they become, the less they contribute to the roads they use because they're using less fuel. So the government's got to come up, they're looking at what's called a distance-based road user charges, where everybody would pay a particular rate just on how much distance they travel. And they could, I'm not saying that they will, think about that for ACC, because that amount of distance you travel probably has a direct link to your exposure rate of having an accident.
Yeah, more risk. Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to ask you about, but I think you've just on-ramped us to this, and that is to track those kilometres, you need something to track them, and is that something in the vehicle?
Yeah, well, that you've touched again on a really, really important issue here. One of the fuel excise duty is the cheapest to collect and the hardest to evade. Road user charges are probably the most expensive to collect and the easiest to evade. what large trucking companies have is something known as eRUC. And it's a telemetric system, a bit like your locator on your iPhone, and it's very accurate. So when they drive into the port or they drive into a forestry road, it turns the road user charges off because they're not on a public road.
Right.
So for that industry, it's a very valuable tool for doing exactly the same, you know, for accurately measuring how much road they're on. Imagine doing that for every person. First thing, you've got, okay, we've got 5 million cars. Even at $100 each, that's $500 million you've got to pay just for the equipment. Mm. The kicker is every month you've got to monitor it. You know, we all send our internet bills, so God, imagine what that would cost. And then the final thing, which is going to be the huge challenge, is privacy issues.
Yeah, you know, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they'll know everywhere you've gone.
Exactly. And who is that information available to? Is it your partner? Is it the police? Is it Is it a marketing company? They want to know where you turned up and what you're doing. So that is probably the most significant challenge that needs to be addressed.
Does the AA have a position on that at this point, or is it too much early days?
It's too much early days, but we respect citizens' right to privacy. Nobody wants to be tracked all their life. I personally don't, and I'm sure that our organisation doesn't want its members tracked around as well. In this digital age, the availability of information and what it's used for is of great concern to many people.
All right, good to hear what you had to say, Terry Collins, media spokesperson for the AA. Thanks for coming on RCR, Terry, and look forward to, I'm sure we'll talk again, because motoring, here's a quick thing, car sales.
Yep.
We've heard that they're down.
Yes.
Are they dead? Do you know about that?
Yeah, I do. Look, here's a really interesting challenge is that the clean car discount, ute tax, call it what you want, didn't sate our appetite for the ute. The number one seller was still the Ford Ranger. The Hilux was about number three. The RAV4 was number two. And I think before they removed it, the Tesla got in at number four. Tesla doesn't even make the top 10 now. We've still got their bestseller is the Ford Ranger, the RAV4 and the Hilux, but the volumes are down really low.
Right.
So I don't know whether it's to do with the economic climate where people are doing it, or there was people rushing to buy the ones that they could get the rebate for at the beginning of the year. But sales to date have been pretty tough for the industry.
What do you think it is, I'm just curious, about that Ford model that makes it so popular? I know it looks kind of hot and big and pumped up on the road.
Well, you know what? I think it passes the plate glass test. And the plate glass test is when you cruise up to the lights and there's a big window with a plate glass and it's got a mirror on it. You look across and you see yourself in it and you go, nah, that's me. No. Yeah. So I think there's a lot to it. But also, they're a great vehicle if you've got, I'm on an outdoors man, and I can drive across paddocks and into back roads, and I can throw some compost on the back, and I can drive it around, and it's got all the features of a car. It's got good suspension, it's got aircon, it's got comfortable seats, no longer bouncing around like Scotty's old day in the in the back 20 years ago. These things drive like
that.
A car.
It's so just amazing. I was going to say it's incredible.
No,
pick it up again. You can say what you're about to say. Just say, and I'll just.
Say they've got all the comfort creatures of a car, yet all the utility of a ute. It's called a ute. Cut things in and do what you like.
Lives up to its name, and that's been a comeback for Ford, hasn't it? In sales, just quickly.
Yeah, it is. And look, even though it's a big vehicle, some of that little 2-litre bi-turbo 10-speed gearbox and only some pretty damn good efficiency with extra horsepower and torque. So the technology's coming along, and I know that the industry's got a lot more of these more efficient, low-emitting options coming out in the future.
All right, Terry Collins from the AA. Thanks for coming on RCR, Terry.
Okay, you're welcome.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.